Greetings once again, pilgrims. It's Pastor Bob. And yes, I'm broadcasting from the studios in Arthur, Illinois. Studios are upstairs in the parsonage, the House of Peace. And we've got a wonderful little devotion to share with you today from Michael Casey's book, Balaam's Donkey. It's about the first martyr for Jesus. Do you remember who the first martyr was for Jesus? Stephen, right? Stephen, that's from the book of Acts. And now known as Saint Stephen, of course, in many denominations. But we're going to hear Michael Casey's take on Stephen. And the reason I like it so much is because he comes right down to the main thing. And the main thing about Stephen's martyred death is the presence of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, the presence of the Holy Spirit as he was being stoned to death. So we'll see what that can teach us today. We'll also have a nice little poem from William Stafford. He's written a few really good poems, and this is one of them. So fill you in more about that when we get there. We have given the monks a day off today. Now, that doesn't happen very often. But even in the most strict monasteries, there are days when the monks are completely off, fasting, and in total silence. That's some awesome day, right? So they're having one of those days today. So we've brought in some violins, and most importantly, the cello. And the cello is just an amazing sounding instrument, I think. Soulful and spiritual. And it kind of vibrates down into our soul, you know, that cello vibration. It's thick and it's deep. So let me know what you think about our background music today, the heavenly cello and the relaxing violin. And we've got the apple harvest candle going, of course. And then there's this. You can probably tell by the sound. That's cozy chamomile. Straight up, no milk. That's one of my mom's favorites. She puts a little sugar in it to dice it up a little. I just go with the straight up cozy chamomile. And with all that being said, I think we are ready. So the devotion today from Michael Casey is called Stephen. And by the way, this is our 33rd episode. I got to say that because it's just about my favorite number. 33, the number I wore in playing baseball in college. So there you go. It says it all, doesn't it? It's our 33rd installment as we come towards the end. When's the end? Well, tomorrow's the end. All right, there, I put it out there. But anyway, let's focus on today. That's what Jesus tells us to do. It's called Stephen. Here's what Michael Casey says. In the stylized account of St. Stephen's martyrdom, given in the Acts of the Apostles, we see him presented as following in the footsteps of Jesus. He accepted his death in a spirit of childlike meekness, even to the point of forgiving his murderers and interceding for them. This, notwithstanding the fact that stoning is a particularly barbaric form of execution. Every rock that is hurled inflicts a different pain as it finds its targets. And meanwhile, the hate-filled faces of those standing around are perfectly visible to the victim. Death comes slowly, and the fury of the crowd will not fade until life has been fully extinguished. We may well ask how it was that Stephen was able to maintain his equanimity in the face of such hostility. Well, the text suggests how this came about. Stephen, it says, was filled with the Holy Spirit, and looking up to heaven, saw God's glory and Jesus standing at God's right hand. Filled with joy and hope at such a vision. He was able to regard the horrific suffering inflicted on him as a slight momentary affliction, in no way comparable to what awaited him on the other side of death. He endured, as the author of the Epistle to the Hebrews wrote of Moses, as if seeing the unseen. There is a lesson here for us. In life and in death, it is the intensity of our contact with the invisible world of the Spirit that will give us the fortitude to be patient amid the inevitable trials that will come our way. We will probably not have to endure anything like the suffering inflicted on Stephen and the other martyrs, but we will certainly have to go through hard times before we ever enter God's eternal kingdom. How we handle these will depend on the extent to which heartfelt prayer has become a part of our lives. Not just the spontaneous prayer that comes to us when trouble strikes, but the dogged daily prayer by which we slowly open our lives to God. Fidelity to regular prayer is when we build up our capacity to maintain our course even in times of contradiction and persecution. St. John wrote, "We have seen His glory." Amen. And we are prepared to endure much in order to share in it more fully. That's an interesting devotion for today. Put a little prayerful thought into that one. As now we turn to our poetry for the day, it's William Stafford. He lived in the 20th century, passed in 1993, lived early life in Iowa and Kansas, moved out to Oregon, and taught at Lewis and Clark College out there for decades, 30-some years, I think. He's also kind of famous for this little saying. It's real short. Be ready. Here it comes. Successful people can't write poetry. I hope that makes you feel better. Maybe poetry is what we're calling is. Successful people can't write poetry. Love that. Anyway, this is called A Ritual to Read to Each Other. Isn't that fitting? A Ritual to Read to Each Other. Here we go. If you don't know the kind of person I am, and I don't know the kind of person you are, a pattern that others made may prevail in the world, and following the wrong God home, we may miss our star. For there is many a small betrayal in the mind, a shrug that lets the fragile sequence break, sending with shouts the horrible airs of childhood, storming out to play through the broken dike. And as elephants parade, holding each elephant's tail, but if one wanders, the circus won't find the park. I call it cruel, and maybe the root of all cruelty, to know what occurs but not recognize the fact. And so I appeal to a voice, to something shadowy, a remote, important region in all who talk. Though we could fool each other, we should consider, lest the parade of our mutual life get lost in the dark. For it is important that awake people be awake, or a breaking line may discourage them back to sleep. The signals we give, yes or no, or maybe, should be clear. The darkness around us is deep. Now that poem takes a second listen to follow this line of thinking. A Ritual to Read to Each Other by William Stafford. If you don't know the kind of person I am, and I don't know the kind of person you are, a pattern that others made may prevail in the world, and following the wrong God home, we may miss our star. For there is many a small betrayal in the mind, a shrug that lets the fragile sequence break, sending with shouts the horrible airs of childhood storming out to play through the broken dike. And as elephants parade holding each elephant's tail, but if one wanders, the circus won't find the park. I call it cruel, and maybe the root of all cruelty, to know what occurs, but not recognize the fact. And so I appeal to a voice, to something shadowy, a remote, important region in all who talk. Though we could fool each other, we should consider, lest the parade of our mutual life get lost in the dark. For it is important that awake people be awake, or a breaking line may discourage them back to sleep. The signals we give, yes or no, or maybe, should be clear. The darkness around us is deep. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, help us to follow your example of making time to spend in solitary prayer and deep communion with God. May our prayer become a shaping force in our lives so that we are not defeated by difficulties, but remain constant in the sure and certain hope of your protection. For you are our Lord and our King forever and ever. Amen.